everyone begins to ask, what can I do and what can I do on the Sabbath? And I've stopped even answering those kind of questions. Because generally, it first comes as a cop-out. Is that how the Lord wants the commandment to be framed? That we're always coming and asking what I can or can't do? The commandment is framed positively. And I think we have to think about that this morning.
Not only think about, but talk about as well. Hi, welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who takes us back to Exodus 31, verses 12 through 18, the test of Sabbath delight. When mentioned, is it something you immediately question, or is it something you immediately embrace, and why? We'll talk about that today. Join us for this edition of Abounding Grace. Here's Pastor Chris.
Exodus chapter 31, beginning at verse 12 this morning. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbath, for this is a sign between me and you and your throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, because it is a holy day, holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel, that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on the Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. May the Lord bless this morning the hearing of his word. Well, there is no doubt that if you want to inspire the charge of being legalistic or strict, just mention that you believe today that Christians should keep the Sabbath day holy. It has almost become a dangerous discussion in Christianity. Most Christians generally attend a morning, many Christians attend a morning worship service on Sunday. Well, that's about the extent of their devotion and their commitment to Jesus. We have been programmed to think that convictions about Sabbath are old school. They're strict. It's for the older generations who held something that just a little too rigid for us. And such convictions will absolutely kill our witness today. I mean, come on. You can't run around telling people that we value the Sabbath and get to anyone today in any kind of meaningful way, right? Who wants to be known as a strict Sabbatarian? Ugh, what a phrase. Strict Sabbatarian? Are you kidding me? I mean, that just makes you kind of recoil a little bit, doesn't it? So what's happened is that we have given the greatest amount of concession and allowance for disregard in this area of the commandments of God, haven't we? Have you ever thought about why this single commandment is the most ignored and the most neglected of all the rest? Have you ever really given thought to that? Why this one? I mean, you would agree, I'm sure, today, that you can't bow down to idols in the course of your life. That's first commandment. Second commandment. You can't worship another god. You can't curse God's name. You can't go out and disregard your parents and disrespect them. You can't go out and commit murder, adultery, theft. You can't slander your neighbor. You can't go around coveting. You know these are 9 commandments of the Lord that you can't go around and do and practice. But the fourth, come on. That gets the pass. Why? One of the things that really has affected me in the book of Exodus is just how much attention all of the commandments of the Lord get, but peculiarly and consistently, this one. Did you notice this is the one he raises here? Right before the golden calf event? It just keeps coming up. For some of us, it might be like a bad tasting medicine in the cabinet. I got to take that again. Over and over and over. We're going to see it again in Exodus chapter 35. He just keeps saying it. And I believe because of that, we really do need to think a lot about this commandment. There's a reason there's so much repetition with this particular commandment. And we really need an entire heart change with regard to this commandment. That, of course, was the promise of the Lord, that he would circumcise our hearts to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The fourth commandment then has to be the chief application of expressing love. We're going to look at that. And I'm hoping the way we get here today is to better understand what the intention of the Lord was with this particular commandment. We have to understand that and why it matters so much to him for us. Why did this commandment mean so much to him? What was it saying? It's a sad phenomenon when the issue comes up. I immediately get all sorts of questions, and I'm not covering every aspect of this today. There's too many questions. But how it generally goes is everyone begins to ask, what can I do and what can I do on the Sabbath? And I've stopped even answering those kind of questions. Because generally, it first comes as a cop-out. Is that how the Lord wants the commandment to be framed, that we're always coming and asking what I can or can't do? The commandment is framed positively. And I think we have to think about that this morning. I want to consider what the commandment signifies, who we are disregarding when the commandment is not honored, and why its observance matters so much for our lives. So what it signifies, who we disregard, and why it matters in the course of our lives. If we can get there this morning, I think it'll be really helpful for you to appreciate and practice something that the Lord intends for us. And if it is God's will, our sanctification, we should think a little bit about the fourth commandment in that regard. This commandment was offset in a special way from all the others to say something about the relationship between God and his people. You'll notice that in verse 12 as the commandment is given and reemphasized here and further instruction is provided about the Sabbath, the meaning of it. Notice how the Lord introduces it in this particular portion of Exodus and where it was inspired and why. And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all. What? So you just read right over the Bible? Above all. I'll come back to that. You shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. Well, let's just tackle the above all right now. Why is he saying above all? Most translations really pick up at this particular point here that you'll have some of the older translations, verily, verily. It says something and they understood the emphasis of the original here. Some say surely or only. And I believe the ESV really captures the intention here when it gets at above all. I have said a lot to you on this mountain, Moses. Well, we've been looking at that for a while. We've been studying the tabernacle. We've been studying all this instruction, all this that God had planned to come down and dwell with his people. And all of a sudden, at the very end of all the instruction, he says, but above all, this one really matters. I want you to really take this one to heart. You keep the Sabbath. This one. And you stop and you say, well, why? Why so much emphasis? Why so important to him? Well, you come to Exodus, and you can't help, as I said, to be impressed with how much attention the Lord keeps giving and inspired this much about this particular commandment. Israel was introduced to this commandment before the giving of the law formally on Sinai, weren't they? You'll remember in Exodus chapter 16, It had to do with manna in the wilderness. And remember what it said, "Behold, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." Now the test was this: 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. So the commandment was a test about the heart and core of where one's trust was. Who were they trusting? And you see this juxtapositioned or set right by side here with the golden calf event. And it's a commandment that provides a platform for worship. This is how the Lord always intended this commandment to be understood. That's why worship is the great issue in chapter 32. Remember, when Moses explained to Pharaoh why the Lord was bringing them out of Egypt. Remember the purpose of what he said? Why he was delivering them? "I'm bringing them out that they may worship the Lord." Worshiping people, a people set apart to worship the Lord, to give him praise, to acknowledge, to receive from him, to glory in him, to have their lives set apart to bow down, the meaning of worship. Bow our lives to him. That's what they were delivered for. I was thinking last time in Mark's gospel, we considered the young man or the scribe who had come to Jesus and asked what was the greatest commandment. And we looked at that already today. And he understood that the summary of the law was love. First, love for God, love for neighbor. And that this love had everything to do with the heart. What good would outward ceremony be? What good would it be to do all the externals without a heart that genuinely loves? Remember, he said that. I asked Darcy in preparing this sermon, I said, "Well, in light of all that we've heard in Mark about the gospel and grace and deliverance and forgiveness, when you hear," now keep in mind, she did not grow up, she's going to be mad at me for saying all this morning, but she didn't grow up in a Reformed church. It was a sort of Baptistic church. And these things weren't emphasized. I asked her this. I said, "Well, when you hear, keep the Sabbath day holy," coming out of all that, what do you hear? She says, "Well, it has to be about your whole self. If that's what God wants, the Sabbath and the commandment has to be about your whole self." Yes, I'm doing a good job here, I think. You know, if you look here at the last commandment of the first table, the fourth commandment, remember, love of God, love of man. This was a commandment that gave the greatest opportunity for Israel to express love for the Lord. Think about it. There is no greater act of devotion. There is no greater act of love than to take a day of rest and enjoy him. The intention. Always the intention of the Sabbath. The fourth commandment is a commandment then that most exposes the heart. Why? Because this is a commandment that is a gauge of where you are. It's a gauge of your spiritual vitality. Where is my trust? Where is my heart? Do I love the Lord? Have I come believing him so much, hearing his word, hearing what he's proclaimed to me, putting his sign on me in baptism? Have I come believing all these things that I long and thirst, as we sang out in the psalm, how my heart thirsts for the living God, my heart pants. Do I long and thirst to have an opportunity to come and express my thankfulness and express my love, my trust, and receive from him what he knows is best for me? Do I believe that? Someone said to me the other day, "Well, why doesn't the Lord just command? Just say, you look, worship this many times and do this and do this. Why is it so difficult to figure all this out?" And I said, why would he want to limit the day like that? You would love a Pharisee checklist. This is what the Pharisees wanted to do. This one gets to the heart of where you are. Something would be wrong to ask, do I have to? Man, what an exposure. If the congregation gathers, and Israel was gathering to worship, we'll look at, we knew they did, morning and evening on the Sabbath. If the congregation gathered, you'd have to follow that up and say, well, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So in all of this, notice that the Lord begins to explain the meaning of the Sabbath. A really helpful passage so that you know why and understand it. The first thing that the Lord says here is that it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that you may know that I, the Lord, do what? Sanctify you. This is a sign about your identity. Identity. Tonight's a sermon about identity. It's a sign of a very special relationship that's going on. I am your God and you are my people, says the Lord. This is the sign of that, the Sabbath. The Sabbath and its observance was the greatest expression of who we are and designed to be who we are as a people. Set apart. Sanctified. And that's what the Sabbath exposes. Who is first? What place does the Lord have in the course of our lives? That's what the test is designed to be. And so at this point, he's reminding Israel of the purpose of their existence as a people. You get that. The Sabbath would always be intended to be a perpetual day where you could stop everything. And you could know that the Lord has set you apart to himself. And that you are peculiarly and specially his people. And that he was committed to sanctify you in this. What a great statement. And in that demonstration of their separateness when they came together as a people, and by the way, you see this throughout the scriptures right after the fall in Genesis. Remember Genesis 5? It says that, and men began to call out on the name of the Lord. This is what they did. They would gather. That's what they did as a people. God always wanted a people gathering. You see this throughout history. They would gather together and call upon his name. So we have a call to worship. That's what we did to start this. This would be a demonstration of their separateness and the greatest means of their sanctification. That's an amazing blessing that the Lord is announcing here in Exodus chapter 31, that I want you never to forget your purpose on the earth. I want you, notice the things that are said here. I want you, number one, to know me. And I'm going to make myself known to you on the Sabbath. And I'm going to make it known to you that you are my people and that I have sanctified you. You belong to me. Oh, I need that. You need that. After a week of self-gratification, after a week of self-worship, after a week of discouragement, after a week of struggle, after a week of being incredibly selfish with my life, feeling condemned often because of sin, I get to come here and hear this. How do you summarize the purpose of the Sabbath? This is how I'm going to keep you. You have no idea how much strength you get from this. This is how I'm going to keep you. This is how I'm going to sanctify you. It's about one issue. Who's first in your life? Who are you serving? And when you understand that, all of a sudden and this will be even more so as we go here in a minute, the chains are taken off, if you will. And no longer am I hearing, don't. I'm hearing, delight. It's the beauty of what's being described. In fact, this was always what the Lord declared about it in his intention, Isaiah 58. if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. We do that all week. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Wow. You want that? It's the chief desire of a converted and changed heart. And he's tying it to the Sabbath. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord is spoken. I went back and I like to remind of how the Jews' typical Sabbath was observed. And Sabbath meaning rest. You'll notice here that all this emphasis on delight, it was a day for the Jews to enjoy the Lord, the nation of Israel. The Talmud describes the traditional Jewish practice, and here it is. They viewed the Sabbath as a beautiful bride that would be greeted every week with joy. So they would speak of the Sabbath as a she. She's coming. In fact, here's one of their prayers. Come, let us welcome the Sabbath in joy and peace. Like a bride, radiant and joyous comes the Sabbath. It brings blessings to our hearts. Workday thoughts and cares are put aside. The brightness of the Sabbath light shines forth to tell that the spirit of love abides within our home. In that light, in all our blessings are enriched. All our griefs and trials are softened. They would have Sabbath blessings pronounced, four of them. Then a Sabbath meal was shared. You'd had worship and prayer services. They would even have a ceremony that they said goodbye to the Sabbath. It's called the Havdalah. Celebrated at nightfall, blessings over wine and spices and lighting of a Havdalah candle. Not a Christmas candle, a Sabbath candle. Believe that? Everyone would depart to their homes and say, Shavuot Tov. Have a good week. The Sabbath was understood to be a festive day of enjoyment.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Pastor Chris will be back here in just a moment to close out our program with a look ahead to tomorrow's broadcast. But first, let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start. agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program, they're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you stop by agradio.org to find the link for all of these formats. Abounding Grace Radio, by the way, exists on this radio station because you believe in it and you find value in it and you direct some of your financial resources our way along with your prayers. We would ask you to continue to do that. No gift is too small, no gift is too big. Contact us today. Let us know how you're partnering with us financially and prayerfully. As promised, once again now, to close out the broadcast with a look ahead tomorrow, here's Pastor Chris.
So right after all the building plans are given and everything's mentioned, the Spirit, what does the Lord do? He puts a halt on the whole building project and he says, think for a minute of the goal. I'm not letting you forget the goal to what we're doing here. Well, you could say that with our building project. I won't let you forget the goal. What is the goal? It's not about your building or your kingdom. The purpose is that you would have a place for Sabbath. That's the goal. That I'm going to meet with you. And I'm going to feed you. And I'm going to help you. And you get to come and take delight in me and worship me. That's the purpose of all of this. In this way, all of this anticipates the final completed project by Jesus. The building, his work, and the goal of that being that we get to rest. That's what we're going to go do forever.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.